Hello and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
Dude, I can't be coming up with a different intro every single week.
This is episode 6 of Back to Square One.
Welcome back.
We are your lovely hosts, Derek and Carmen.
Ooh.
If you're listening to this, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just know that this is a very special episode. It's going to be some groundbreaking news. This will be a day you remember forever, the same way I will remember December 18th forever.
Oh, damn. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So why is December 18th special to me, Carmen?
Oh, man. So let's actually go back to December 11th. So December 11th, Derek and I and a group of our friends, we had plans to go to Bar Plus, which is a karaoke spot in downtown Toronto.
Yeah, shout out to Bar Plus.
Bar Plus. We love Bar Plus. Anyways, so, you know, my husband and I, we've been trying to conceive since August. So it is now December. And we've been trying for like 4 months, and you know, we had Bar Plus planned, so I was like, you know, I'm just gonna take a pregnancy test and like see if I'm pregnant, because I really want to drink tonight. You know, it wasn't like I missed my period, like it was still early. My period wasn't supposed to come until like December 13th or something like that. But I was like, you know what, if I am pregnant, it'll pick up on a pregnancy test, and if it isn't, then I know I can drink. So we casually took one, and I was pregnant. And I remember having to message the group, and I was like, guys, I'm sick. I can't come out tonight. And immediately I went to the doctors to get my blood work done to like confirm the pregnancy and all that. But like, you know, obviously at the beginning of any pregnancy, like you really don't want to be telling people, because it's such a, you know, the first trimester, there's such a high risk for miscarriages.
What is that percentage?
Honestly, I'm not sure the exact stat, but it's just most miscarriages happen in the first trimester. Mm. You know, the pregnancies are just very rocky in the first trimester. And this is like my first pregnancy, the first time I've ever been tested positive. So, you know, I didn't want to tell too many people, but anyone who knows me knows that I cannot keep a secret for too long. So actually the one of the first people I told was Duncan, and the reason for that was because the following week on the 18th was the Great Gatsby. We were having like this huge Christmas party. Sorry, and anybody who knows me also knows that I never turn down a drink.
That is a lie. Okay, sorry, that's not a lie, but it's a technicality. She won't turn it down, but she won't drink it either. She'll, you know, fake drink it, toss it
only
out.
Only if I'm like very, very drunk.
You know, she'll, you know, she'll find a.
I'll run away from like a shot.
A deceiving way to misplace it. You know.
But I, you know, you like you agree with me.
Yeah. You're always down to party. Yeah. You know, you are. Aside from myself, I would say we definitely are one of the lives of the party.
Lives of the party.
We're definitely the people that instigate it. Yeah, get shit started, turn up the fucking music, pour the shots.
We pour the shots. We're like, yo, yeah. Drink. You know?
Yeah, we get it going.
For sure. So it's very obvious if I'm not drinking. Mm-hmm. So I was like stressing out, you know, I was like, oh my God, like why did we plan this big ass party? I can't even keep this a secret. There was like 50 people coming. And so I decided I'm gonna tell Duncan, because Duncan is usually like super loud too when it comes to like calling me out on not taking shots. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes like you guys will pour me a shot and I'll just like secretly run away, and he'll be like, Carmen, you better drink that. You're not leaving my sight until you drink that. Like you're also one of them, but Duncan's definitely like super loud about it too. So we decided to tell Duncan and like two of our other friends, and I mean they were obviously really happy for us. We had this whole plan going, like he was gonna empty out a bottle of like soju and pour water in it, and you know, he was going to take care of all my drinks for the night. You know, I had this whole plan where I was going to have like a mixed drink in my hand all night. And he was going to like call me out and be like, why are you drinking that? Let me taste it. Let me see if there's even alcohol in it. And like, we had this whole script.
It was elaborate.
It was elaborate because I just didn't want to tell too many people. And then obviously COVID happened, the lockdown restricting gatherings. So we just decided, oh my God, this is like the perfect opportunity to just cancel the party or delay it until, you know, whatever. But you guys still ended up coming over, like 10 of us. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I honestly still could have kept it from you guys. But I think it was just like, I don't know, like in the moment I was like, oh, this is like this is like really exciting. And like, I just couldn't keep it in my.
So when did you decide that you were going to tell us like at the event or before the event, before that, when we met up for dinner?
So if we were going to have the Great Gatsby party, for sure, I would not have told you guys. Mm-hmm. I would have went through with our plan with Duncan and like pretended to host and be busy.
But then we decided to scale down.
Yeah, when we decided to scale down, I knew it was a little bit harder to evade drinks. Mm. Even though I also made this like elaborate lie about like I needed to get blood work done on Monday, or like, you know, I had this like liver infection or something that I couldn't drink for. But
yeah, I believed you. I was like, oh yeah, kidney infection. Okay.
Yeah, kidney infection.
You're on antibiotics.
Yeah. You you probably shouldn't drink, or like. But no, and then I also had this elaborate plan. So this happened December 11th, which is a Saturday, and we usually do our podcast on Wednesdays. So I had this great plan of like catching your reaction on the podcast. Like I was going to tell you on episode, like, what was it, 3 or 4?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. It's recorded. Like, and then we were supposed to talk about fertility.
Which we did. Well, we talked about relationships.
Yeah, but we were supposed to specifically, I was right. Like, I want to talk about fertility. I want to talk about like trying to conceive and like the male and female, like the biological clock and all that, which we will get into later. But we ended up like going completely like sideways, and we started talking. We got really deep. We were talking about like childhood traumas and stuff like that. And I was just like, I don't know how to bring this up. I don't know how to bring this up. And I knew I wanted your reaction recorded, but it was like, the way I've been telling people is like, my husband would hold the camera and he would pretend he's taking a picture, but instead he's actually videotaping. And then he'll say like, say cheese, and everyone says cheese. And then he'll be like, say Carmen's pregnant. And then, you know, you've seen this on like YouTube or whatever. But I couldn't do that with you, because it's like, it would have been so random for him to be like coming downstairs after our podcast and be like, can I take a picture of you? Guys,
but how were you gonna bring it up on the podcast?
I was thinking like if we were talking about fertility and all that, I was just gonna bring it up at the end, like, whether or not it was part of the podcast or not. I probably would have done it where we were signing off.
By the way, I'm having a baby.
And then like, yeah, I would have been like, no. Or I would like probably like show you the fertility thing, or like show you my pregnancy test or something, and it would have been like still recording.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But anyway, so then I ended up telling Derek in a bigger group setting, and like I also recorded it. And this guy's reaction is literally like the worst. Like he's just like stunned. Like, you know, like didn't get up to like.
I was processing.
Yeah, I could tell. Like,
oh wow. Oh wow.
You know, the funny thing too is like, it's not like, I mean, even like 4 months ago, like you took me out to dinner, mm-hmm. you know, you got me this like notebook and you wrote a really sweet note in it, and you were telling me like, you know, you knew I was like journeying into this next stage in life, you know. I think mentally you were prepared, but for some reason, like when it happened, like I was expecting more of like a bigger reaction or something, but like, you were like, even I was already preparing you in all these months, and then I feel like your brain was just like, You were too stunned.
I don't think I even moved. I was just like,
yeah, you didn't move. You didn't get up to hug me. You were just like, so funny. What was going through your mind?
The sentence in my mind was Carmen is pregnant, but there was no follow up thought. It was just Carmen is pregnant. Is this like, you know, when a computer is trying to run a program,
yeah.
And then there's a certain line of code that doesn't work and it just keeps trying to process it.
Yeah.
It just, Carmen's pregnant, Carmen's pregnant, Carmen's pregnant. There's nothing beyond that. I was like, okay.
Because it was just funny because even in the first episode, like at that time I was not, well, I didn't I wasn't pregnant, like the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I didn't know I was pregnant. And we were talking about how, like, friendships, like, a lot of our friends were having kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was talking about how I felt like it was so different reaching out to my friends with kids, how our friendship, you know, really changed, especially since I don't have kids yet. And it's like,
How fast the tables turned.
Yeah. And I remember literally in a week's time, I was like, wow. And I think what went through my head, obviously, when I found out we were pregnant, we were obviously over the moon, like super happy. I even recorded that reaction as well.
Like Eden's?
Both of ours. Yeah. Like we found out together.
Wait, how,
on our pregnancy test. Because I've been recording every single month because we've been unsuccessful.
Oh, like you would take your own, you would set up a camera while you...
While we were waiting for it.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
Yeah. So like in the last 3 months, like it's been like pretty emotional because every time we've tried, it's always been negative, right? And yeah.
How did you guys react to it?
Oh my God. I was like bawling my eyes out. Like, you know, we were so happy because, you know, we know like based on the stats, it takes like a healthy couple, you know, 6 months to a year to conceive.
And how long were you guys trying for?
So we're trying since August, right after Jen's wedding. So it's like 4 months, four cycles.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but which is great. Like it's not like we were not stressing or anything like that.
It felt like a long time for you guys.
But it felt like a long time only yeah. because everybody around us with babies right now, they were all telling us like, yeah, it took us like one try, you know, or, oh yeah, it took us like,
yeah, you know, they just hit a home run.
Yeah, exactly. And we were just like, oh my gosh. And I don't know why there's always this like irrational fear of mine in the back of my head growing up that, you know, I was like infertile. You know, I've never had like a pregnancy scare before.
Do girls often like, have you talked to other girls that have felt that insecurity?
Oh,
or
yeah.
That fear?
Yeah. I think a lot of girls do fear that. You know, only because like you never know until you start trying, right? Like,
it's so crazy.
Yeah. And but yeah, like it was just, we were beginning to wonder like, oh my God, like did we, like is there something wrong with us?
Right.
Or you know, there's always that fear of like, oh my, like even though I'm only 32.
Yeah, your mind's just wandering.
Your mind wanders, right? Yeah. And you start like reading articles and
yeah,
you start
yeah,
like,
it's always a bad
watching videos
yeah.
and so yeah, when it happened, it was just like, honestly, it was more of just like, oh my God, like a relief that, okay, like our parts work. But it was also just like, I think it was even better that it didn't happen on the first try. Like it was
Why?
Almost like, it was like worth, it was like worth the wait. It just built up this like, even more of a desire.
Yeah, it felt more special.
Yeah. So obviously all these emotions like, you know, came out, we were like crying. And so, yeah, like we were very excited. But one of the, like, the, I remember the first things that came into my mind very clearly, especially because Bar Plus was that night. It was so clear to me that, like, I was like, I can't keep this from my friends for too long because.
Yeah, because we drink.
Yeah.
We hang out. We, you know, we party.
And I realized a lot of our gatherings is always around drinking. Like, there's no way I can, like, hide it from you guys, right? And, yeah, like, it was just, like I said in episode one, you know, things will be different in the next year and a half, right? Because, obviously, even after I have the child, like, breastfeeding, like, I don't even know if you can really, like, drink, right? Or be away from your child or stuff like that, but things will just change. And it just hit home so quickly because we were just talking about that like the week before. So it was definitely like the person that I felt I was thinking more about. Definitely you were the first person that I thought of, like, how am I gonna tell Derek for sure. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be special. But then it just ended up being like, it was just, everything happened and I just couldn't hold it in. And it was just, yeah. But yeah, I think it's a, you know, I feel great. I'm only like, I'm very, still very early.
Do you feel changes in your body or
oh
anything?
Oh my god, 100%.
Already?
Like, it's disgusting.
What's different?
Like, my boobs are like really sore. Uh-huh. Like, if someone hugs me, like, it hurts.
Wow.
And you know, back then people would be like, oh yeah, you know, it'll be so sensitive. Even if the wind blows on it, like, it'll hurt. And I'm like, it's so true.
Wow.
Like, it hurts so much.
Already?
Yeah. Like, your boobs look like, I saw this video where it's like, think of it as a balloon, right? So uh-huh. you blow a little bit of air into a small balloon. That's what your boobs look like when you're in your 20s, right? It's like firm, but it's small. It's cute, right? Okay. And then when you're pregnant, you blow more air into it. It becomes like literally two times its size, but it's still firm and upright and nice, right? As soon as you give birth and you breastfeed, you let out all the air. And that's why your boobs are like, they've been stretched out that like they're so saggy. That's what I imagine my boobs to be like after pregnancy, because they're so stretched out that I'm like, there's no way they're ever going to look the same.
And do they recover or what happens?
I don't think I don't think anything is ever going to be the same.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I think this, and even this early on, like, I feel like so bloated all the time. Like, back then I could like not work out, but I would just like sleep. And then when you wake up, I had abs.
Yeah.
You know, like in the morning, you just lose all your water weight or whatever. And then in the morning, you look like you have abs. And you look, no, oh my God, no. Like, there's like, yeah, it's like I just look bloated. Like, I'm like constantly needing to like urinate. I'm constantly hungry. I've been so tired. I've literally been falling asleep like every night at like 9 p.m. That's why you can never like message me afterwards. And the morning sickness thing is definitely a thing. So if I don't eat before like having my prenatal vitamin or whatever, like I'll want to throw up. Really? So I always have to eat. Like I have to remind myself, like, you know, sometimes you just don't want to eat. Yeah. Or sometimes you don't want to drink water. It's like I have to constantly remind myself, like, I have to eat. I have to eat. I have to have snacks throughout the day. And it's just like, oh, wow. And the other thing is like the shortness of breath. Like I'll literally be like, at work, and I'm a dentist, so I have to kind of run around a lot and go from room to room, but like especially behind the N95s, like I'm literally like panting.
It's That's so crazy that it's already, it's just like,
yeah, and literally the baby is like the size of a sesame seed,
right? But I guess your body's getting ready to incubate.
Yeah, and it's like, it's crazy like the amount of energy that it takes to make a fucking human being. It's crazy. And then you just kind of like, I'm lying there and like I just see Eden and he's like living his best life, like nothing's changed for him, you know.
You're starting already.
And I'm like,
you're starting already.
Yeah, you know, like I'm jealous, like I can't have sushi, I can't drink, I can't like have like fucking salami.
This is what you asked for. This is what you wanted.
I know. I just like, it'll be worth it. Yeah. It'll be worth it. But it's just, man, it's, no, it's definitely very interesting. But yeah, going back to like trying to conceive and stuff like that. I mean, we're very blessed. We're very lucky. And just makes me like really realize how beautiful it is to even be able to have children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a rare, like, I know people who have had trouble trying to conceive, and it's hard, especially when it's something that you want and, you know, you've always thought you would, you know, have, and everyone around you is celebrating and, you know, having kids, and it is hard to talk to people about it too, right? I have friends who have had miscarriages, and it's hard for them to even open up to other people about it. Like, it's just not really, you know,
it's touchy for everyone.
Yeah, it's touchy. Yeah. And that's the other reason why people are like, don't tell so many people in the first trimester, because you don't want other people to be heartbroken too. Like, don't tell your parents yet. Like, our parents don't know. They're like, don't tell your parents because they'll also be heartbroken for you. And, you know, but like my mentality was like, I'm going to tell the people that I want there if shit does happen. You know, I'm not the type of person to hold things in. If something happens, like, these are my people. These are the people I would want to tell, mm-hmm. you know, to go through this with. So if you already know by now, and if I have personally told you, you are one of my people. But yeah, I guess it's yeah, I think I wanted to really talk about not so much fertility issues, but going back to the male and female
biological clock.
Yeah, or like the timelines of when they want certain things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've, you know, when you dated your girlfriends, like whether they were very adamant about like, I want to be married by this age, or I want to have kids by this age. And I feel like for a guy, they always felt like,
we have time.
Yeah, like what's the rush?
Yeah.
You know, why do girls always do things based on this biological timeline, you know, and which ends up resulting in a lot of people like rushing into getting married because they're mm-hmm. a certain age or whatever, right? But it is
a very real thing that you guys face.
Yeah, it's a very real thing. And I remember, like, you know, we talked about this in, I think, episode... What episode are we on? Six?
This is six.
Five, four, three. Episode three, I think, when we were talking about how Eden and I were going through some marital problems during the pandemic. And that was only, like, what, a year and a half ago? A year to 2 years ago. And I remember being scared, like, you know, all our friends at the time were having kids. But meanwhile, I was taking a step backwards.
You felt like your whole future was at jeopardy.
Yeah. And so fast forward, things are better. And we decided, you know, we're going to take the next step forward and have kids. And it wasn't happening. It almost made me feel like I couldn't help but question, like,
is this a sign?
Yeah. Or was it because
your emotions weren't there?
Or I was just... Was it because, like, now I missed that boat?
What do you mean?
Like, that timeline.
You thought you were too late?
Yeah.
Stop.
No, seriously, because everybody around me who got pregnant were, like, younger than me.
But you're like, that was...
And it was so easy for them.
Right.
Right. I mean, it was just 1 year. But even still, it was, like... So I was watching this podcast... Or, sorry, listening to this podcast. There was this fertility expert who got invited onto it, and he actually described like the biological timeline really, really well. So if you think about girls, they are born with an X amount of eggs,
mm-hmm.
right? We know that, let's say these eggs are balls, okay? Let's say the good balls are red and the bad balls are blue. Okay. So everyone's born with an X amount of eggs and an X amount of, some of them are blue, some of them are red. There's no way to know how many of these balls that you have. Okay. So when you're young, in your 20s, every month you get a bucket and like your bucket is full. Eggs are spewing out. So every ovulation cycle you have, these balls come out, right?
But wait, is it one egg per cycle?
No, so it only takes one egg to be released out, like, into the fallopian tube to be fertilized or something like that.
But multiple eggs,
I think, are
right.
released. Anyway, so your bucket is full of these balls, but all it takes is one ball to get pregnant. So imagine you putting your hand into this bucket of balls, you pick out a ball, the chances of it being a red ball, a good quality egg, is very high because you've got an abundance, overflowing number mm-hmm. of eggs, right? But when you get into like your late 30s, you may now have only 20 balls in your bucket. And
like
so
actually 20?
No, like let's say.
Okay.
Like just to give you like the visual. So now you have maybe 20 balls. But 1 month it could be like 17 blue eggs.
Right.
Right. And 3 red balls or whatever, right? Good balls. And so when you're picking, even though this cycle you still have 20 balls, which is pretty good, but your chance of fertilizing a red ball
is drastically lower.
Is drastically lower, yeah. right? And then by the time you get to 40s, you maybe only have 5 balls. And 1 month it could be all blue. The second month, all blue. Mm-hmm. Finally, you get one red egg, but you're not picking that one red egg that's good,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's why they say that, you know, he was talking about how, like, when women, they freeze their eggs, like, there's no way of telling if a ball is red or blue until you fertilize it with a sperm. And that's basically like IVF, where you can take the balls, all the balls, fertilize all of them with eggs or with sperm. And then you could tell, okay, these are the good red eggs. Let's put those red eggs back into the woman and hopefully they'll get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So it's like listening to that, I was like, wow, like science is so amazing. Like nowadays, if you want a child, as long as you have money, there's really like, there's a very high chance you'll have a child because there's IVF, there's, you can have a surrogate. Like there's so many ways to have a child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it didn't really worry me. But one of the things he said is like, let's say you have fertility issues. Let's say the male sperm count is low. There's medication for that. Let's say mechanically something in your uterus is blocking you from getting pregnant. There's surgery for that. Let's say you were not releasing eggs every month. We have medication for that. There's science for everything to improve your chances of getting pregnant. He's like, the only thing we cannot change is your age. That's the only thing. We cannot change the fact that
the body is decaying.
Yeah. Like yeah. We cannot give you more eggs than you have. And like, I don't know, listening to that podcast, I was like, even though obviously we're still in like, you know, we're 32. It was just one of those things. I was like, oh my God, like I can imagine how stressful it would be. Let's say you were 35 and still single, you know? Like I have friends who are, who are my age, who are still single, who are having those conversations right now. Like, should I be freezing my eggs? You know,
so crazy.
Which is, it's crazy, but it's also like, if it's something that you want in your future, it's.
Yeah, you have no choice.
You have no choice. You have to go through those conversations, and mm-hmm. It's not cheap to freeze your eggs either, right? So it's just like, it's so crazy that women have to think about these things. Like, it's no wonder it drives us to make certain decisions in our lives that may seem very
emotional and irrational. Yeah. But there is a lot of logic behind it.
Yeah. Like, why did God create us this way? You know, why are we the ones that have to, why can you guys be fathers whenever you know what I mean? Your sperm is good. And you guys have that luxury, right, to decide later.
Yeah.
You know, and if, you know, if a girl, even when a girl becomes pregnant, like they have to, they're definitely the ones who have to give up a lot more.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
You know, like a lot of women have to take a break in their careers, you know, even Eden and I had to make this decision, you know, a couple months before, where there was this really good opportunity that came up where I could have bought a practice. And it was just one of those things where it's like we had to decide, like, do we buy the practice and delay our plans, or do we focus on like starting a family because that's more important to us right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like these
really grown up.
Yeah, like crazy. I know. And it's like, meanwhile, I don't know, like, I guess for Eden, there's not much of a pause, you know. If anything, I actually encourage him because I'm self-employed, I'm not going to get any EI. So I don't pay into EI. I'm not going to get maternity leave. The more time I take off after the child comes, I'm not making any money.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, Eden can actually take the full paternity leave. Like he can take, I think it's a year or whatever it is. Normally, if both of us had EI, like we'd have to split it, right? Mm-hmm. If he takes 6 months, then it cuts into mine. But because I don't have it, he can take the full paternity leave, which is amazing. He's basically getting paid,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm like, you need to use that year that you're off. Sure, we're going to have a child. Great. But like, you should use that year to like do something. Because I know he doesn't want to be where he is forever. But you need to use that year and like, you know,
try something
new. Like there's no better time. You basically are getting paid.
Yeah. You have a grace period.
Yeah. And, So yeah, I was like, if anything, it's like better for him. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just, yeah, we're feeling very blessed. And, you know, I don't know why there's still always this like irrational fear in the back of my mind. Like every morning I wake up and I'm like, did my period come? Like,
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, you know, if you start bleeding, then it's like a good sign of a miscarriage.
Oh.
You know, okay. Things like that. I don't know why. Like every morning I still wake up and I'm just like, or every time I go to the washroom, I'm still like very like, oh, like just make sure everything's okay. And I don't know. It still feels unreal, even though, yeah, I'm having these symptoms, but it just still feels very unreal, very far into the future. Our baby's not arriving until August 2022. So just still feels like, you know, apart from the fact that, yeah, I'm not drinking, like our lives.
But doesn't it feel like in a matter of a couple of weeks, your whole.
Yeah.
Like your whole existence is different now.
For sure. Yeah. And even just like, I don't think anything really prepares you for it. Like, sure, we've been talking about like, oh, yeah, we're trying, we're going to have a kid. Like,
But the moment you find out, it's just.
Yeah, you're like, wow, like now it's real, you know?
So crazy. When you first, has there been a moment where like your thoughts have just been racing?
Yeah. Oh my God.
And you're just trying to like re-grasp this new reality of yours?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's still so. I mean, we just found out 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago that it's like still in the processing mode. And we're still obviously in like the very excited, like adrenaline mode. So, you know, like thinking about
baby names
or like what to get and stuff like that. I don't think it will really hit us until maybe that last week when you're like really big, ready to pop. And it's like you have everything, everybody knows, and that will really change our lives. Mm. And I can only imagine when he or she comes, how much of a change it will be. Like it's interesting too, because this weekend, I mean, I told you guys, and you and Richie were like, Richie was really sitting me down, and you know, I felt like he was really making sure, he's like, you know, you got to make sure when the child comes, like you can't lose yourself, you have to make sure you live. And he was very adamant about that. I mean, Richie has a child, so he knows, and I think he's a really good, you know,
he's found a good balance between, hey, I'm a father, I'm a parent,
yeah,
I'm a husband, but I'm also still a person in this world that's finding myself and learning new things and meeting new people and, you know, just making the best of everything.
I agree with that 100%. And like, I really do strive to be like him and Susan. But at the same time, like, you know, a day later, I was talking to Duncan and Lillian and them. And Duncan and Lillian, again, they also have a brand new child, like 6-7 weeks old. And Duncan was like, you know, it's very interesting because a lot of your advice is coming from the male, like from the dad. And even Duncan was like, honestly, it is a lot easier for the dad to continue like just doing the things that he loves, because there's always going to be this motherly guilt of like leaving your child. And it's not that Duncan's not supportive of Lillian, like, you know, Duncan, if anything, encourages her to like, you know, go out with your friends, like have a night out, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. But it's almost like there's this motherly connection, this bond with your child that the mother can't be away that long.
For sure.
You know, even when the baby's crying, like you'll see Duncan holding Kira, pacing our room back and forth. But Kira will cry. And it's not until like Lillian holds her. Mm-hmm. That's when she stops. So it's like, yes, as much as I don't want to lose myself. I know like a big part of me is like, you know, being with my friends, like, you know, going out, things like that. It's just, I wonder how hard it will be. That's a big fear that I have, because I'm such an extrovert that I don't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll surprise you that maybe it'll be easier than you think to become a different person, and now you're not this extroverted life of the party person, you're more like, you know, maybe I'll come through, maybe I won't.
I don't know, like, I mean, I'd be very shocked. I think I definitely will be very shocked. And if anything, it might be one of those things that I convince myself that it's okay. And it's not until like many years later that it's like, I definitely don't want to like be resentful.
Like your friends are resentful of you?
No, like resentful or, of oh, like my life.
It, towards the child. Like, yeah. I gave up so much for you.
Yeah. Like I never want, right. I never want to hear that. Like just because I know growing up, like, not that my mom said it in like a way to upset us or anything like that, but I know my mom always told us like, if it wasn't for you and your sister, like, you know, I'd be going out to whatever, or I'd have so many friends, or if it wasn't for you and your sister, I'd be living in Hong Kong with your dad. I wouldn't be here alone. Like there was a lot of like, if it wasn't for having you guys. So that's one of the things that I'm worried about. Like, you know, you never want to question like, how would my life be if I didn't have kids, right? Because it is something that I am so sure about. And I remember like, you know, there was this episode in Life in Microdoses where you guys were interviewing Richie and asking him like, when did you know you wanted to be a father or that you were ready, right? And like, you know, Richie's answer was great. And I feel very similarly to it. But to add to that, I guess
to recap for everyone, Richie's answer was kind of, I've accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. And this is the next challenge and chapter of life for me, right? More or less, that was his answer.
Exactly. And I like, but what even... what resonated to me more was I feel like all through my life, I was never, honestly, I could say looking back, like I was never 1,000% sure about anything.
Besides?
Yeah, like
having kids.
For example, like going into dentistry, like I was always just kind of like, yeah, I'll apply. Like my boyfriend at the time was applying. It's like, I'll apply. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, like... I was never one of those people that I was like, I'm going to keep trying until I get into dental school. No, it was like, I was going to apply once. If I get in, I get in. If I don't get in, I was going to be a teacher. But somehow I got in, became a dentist. And then the next thing was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, like I'm going to get married. And I never knew whether I was going to be a good wife or not, you know, because I just knew I didn't have like, honestly, I know myself. I don't have wife qualities, you know.
Wait, what?
Honestly, like.
Wait, don't sell yourself short.
I think.
Okay. I think maybe not in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
But you. Anybody who's an amazing person is an amazing spouse. So I think you're an amazing spouse.
Thank you.
Right, Eden will have to come on record to clarify whether or not, you know, but. Yeah, I don't want to sell yourself short.
Yeah, I just, it was like, I would never be like, oh, I'm the, you know, I would never call myself an amazing wife, amazing daughter, you know, that those are not.
That's very different.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, yeah. Like, there's things, there's like just kind of roles in your life that you play that I wish I was better at, but, you know, but the only thing that I know truly and like so deeply in my soul is that like I know for oh my god, I'm gonna cry. I know for a fact that like I'm gonna do like everything I can to be like the best mom. That's something that I know like so. Oh, the fuck, why the fuck am I crying?
Something you just like felt and
yeah, like and... I know yeah, and it's like I think that's what makes me want it even more. Like I've never been so sure about anything in my life. You know,
and this was like since forever, since always.
Yeah, like so sure to the point where it's like, yeah, like obviously like going through this journey with Eden is an amazing thing because he is such a supportive husband. He's going to be an amazing dad. You know, I love him. Like, we've built this great life together. And I know, like, I feel so safe with him, right? But I'm so sure about being a mother that it's like, I honestly feel like,
even without anything, without you would still him, succeed.
Yeah. Like, I'm so confident about this that it's like, I actually don't think I even would need anybody, and I would still be like an amazing mother. Like, I would still try my hardest. It's not something that like anyone can take away from me.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like, I feel it in my bones. Yeah. So it's like,
and where does this come from? Like, this, I guess, this sense of confidence that I am going to be an amazing mother. Where does that come from? Is it just because you know you will go to no bounds? Is it because you know you're financially in a good place? Is it because you know you have a big heart? Like, where does this come from? Like, what, where do you draw this strength from?
Yeah, I think it's off, like, I guess it's easy to say because I am in all those positions right now. Like, I am in a very good financial situation that I feel like I could still do it alone. Like, obviously not everybody has that, like, advantage or...
But it sounds more like, it sounds more like from your position, even though you have these things, it sounds like no matter what, you know, you just have this determination and this grit that...
Yeah. I don't know where it stems from, like...
Do you think it's just like this part of, like, I always relate things back to, like, biology and, like, cavemen and, like, definitely there has to have been something wired in women. Like, same thing to your point of why the motherly guilt.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel guilty leaving your child is because I'm sure if that wasn't wired in us, the chances of baby surviving would be a lot lower.
Yeah.
If the mom just wanted to wander around.
Maybe, yeah.
Right? Do you think this comes from this, like...
Maybe
something like programmed in you, this like, code that's unlocked now because you are you know you're pregnant and you're about to have a child.
Yeah, no, definitely like the emotions, I would say is maybe hormonal and like maternal, like, you know, this bond that's already being created biologically without us even noticing. But like, I don't know, like I don't know what it is. I think it's just. I mean, even with our friends' kids, like, you know, I don't know, like, I always feel this, like, love and connection to them, too. I don't know what it is about, like, children and, you know, like, having that desire to just, like, protect them and things like that. I mean, I'm sure if you just spoke to my therapist, there'd be, like, a deeper meaning to it. But what's interesting is, like, I actually don't really have... like the closest relationship with my mom. It's actually so crazy. Like, my mom was with us when my dad wasn't here. You know, you think like my mom and I would be super close, but we're not.
Do you feel like it's because it's like the reverse, because you didn't have a close relationship, you want to do the complete opposite?
Yeah, maybe. Like, my mom was just never very maternal. Like, my mom is not the type. Like, I didn't notice it until I obviously started living with Eden, and I noticed
like his mom
like, you know, like, used to iron his underwears. Like, she's so maternal, right? Like, she like makes sure we're fed, she's like bringing us all these things. And like, my mom was not really like that. She was definitely more like cool. Not to say she doesn't care, but
yeah, just different.
It's very different. Yeah, she, you know, my mom.
You're definitely going to be the mom that's like texting all the time.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, I'm going to like cool.
You're going to be so annoying too.
I know. I'm going to be like so emotional and like.
Yeah, I know.
I know. My God.
You're going to be documenting everything. And yeah. Like, oh my God, stop. You're embarrassing me.
But yeah, no, my mom was just like, she was never, like, she didn't want to come to any of my.
Like graduations and stuff.
Yeah, like she didn't want to come to any of my like school plays, like school performances, or like.
And why did she tell you why?
I don't know. I just remember growing up, she was never really like.
Just didn't care.
Like, she drove me to things. Like, she'll drive me to like karate. She'll drive me to piano classes. But it's like, she was never like that proud parent that like recorded us. Like, I have no recordings of any of my like. Performances or, you know, like sports.
I mean, technology like was like different back then, though. I feel like very few people have recordings.
I feel like a lot of proud parents do, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know.
you know, or at least like, I don't know, like lots of like
photos and stuff.
Yeah. Like there wasn't any of that. Or like, I even remember like when I got into dentistry, like the first person I called was my mom, and I was like crying and I was so happy. And she was like, I think she was at work, and she's like, Chomea. She's like, Hi, Gamza. Okay, hold on. Like she was like, I'll go hey, Zaya. Like she wasn't even like, she wasn't like celebrate. She wasn't like, oh my God. Like she wasn't like in it with me. She was just kind of like, oh, okay. Like, cool. Is anything else? You know?
I wonder why that is.
Yeah. Like.
I really want to talk to her and ask her why.
Man, I mean, we should invite our parents on this podcast. It'd be very interesting for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down if you're down, but.
But yeah, now I think my mom, now that she's retired and maybe now that my dad's back, she really wants to. I know I can tell she reaches out more. Like she'll always call me and be like, oh.
How do you think she's going to take the news though about this?
Oh, I'm sure she'll be happy for sure. But I think now that when I'm about to become a mother, I definitely feel like I may understand her a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah. And you tend to, right? But yeah, it'll be interesting. What was I saying? Yeah, like it'll be interesting to see how she reacts. I'm sure she'll be happy. But I think I'm more excited to see Eden's mom's reaction because she...
You'd be through the roof.
Oh my God. Like she was the type, like she was the person who like, we were giving speeches at our wedding and she stood up from her table and she was like, I love you, Eden. And she was just like, everyone was like, that's so cute. Like she's that kind of mom.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Oh man.
Yeah, I know it'll be, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how things are and, you know.
No, I think it's perfect timing that we started this podcast before.
Oh my God, yeah, thank
God. To document the journey.
Yes, at that, and also just like this, we haven't, there's no excuse for you to like leave my life. Like, this is going on, like... You know, at least once a week, I have to see you.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, even after that night, after the party.
Yeah.
When I got home and the Molly was wearing off. That was when I really got to, like, process.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, like, this is a whole new chapter for you. And I definitely knew I just wanted... to really be a part of your child's life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just have a relationship with them. And, you know, it just, December 18th is a day I'll never forget. It's the day I found out, you know, my best friend is pregnant.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. Yeah. I mean, we'll keep everyone posted on, you know, the journey, but.
Yeah, I mean, every week we'll, you know.
Wait, is this going to turn into a pregnancy podcast?
I mean, I think
every other episode.
Accidentally, you know, whatever you complain about next that's changing in your body or, you know, whatever it is, you know, the listeners will be updated and.
Yeah, no, it'll be, you know. It'll be exciting. But yeah, I am definitely excited that we're going to continue to do this. And, you know, it's definitely a good way for us to, like, even catch up. Because even nowadays, I feel like. Like, for example, if something happens in my life or something happens in your life, I almost like...
We tell each other about it like later.
Yeah. Like I want to always message you, but I'm like, oh, maybe we should leave it for the podcast because I want it to be like a genuine first experience. Like even after you saw your brother, I was like, usually I would be like, hey, how was it? You know, you'd fill me in, but I was like, I'll just wait into the podcast kind of thing. So it's like a good... It's good and bad, I guess. I mean, we don't... Yeah.
No, it's definitely like, good. It's a... It's now we know there's a dedicated space where we can, you know, offload.
Yeah.
Experiences and process them and, you know.
Yeah. It'll be good. Because, I mean, like, there's obviously now going to be a lot of, you know, you're going to have a lot of experiences, a lot of where I'm not there anymore.
Wait, so what do you mean?
Well, like, I mean, back then, like,
let's like parties. Yeah. Oh, man. You think I'm going to be like filling you in on
the for sure, man. Or like.
What's going on in the streets? Yo, guess what? Guess what? Like,
what's a drink going for now at the bars?
You know? Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I mean, it might be. Oh man.
No. It'll just,
it's going to be 2 years for you without having a drink.
I know. And then even, oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
I know. But yeah, no, we'll.
I mean, the streets will be very happy when you are ready to.
when I return.
Yeah, when you return.
I'm going to have the most epic party.
We'll throw a comeback, a welcome back to the streets party.
Yeah, it was actually funny. Duncan sent me a TikTok the other day that was like, you know you're getting old when you have to ask your parents for permission to go out on New Year's Eve again. Because now you're asking your parents to babysit the kids.
Oh.
Right? But you're like, can I go out for New Year's Eve?
Full circle.
Yeah, full circle. So.
Oh my God.
That's going to be us.
This is so crazy.
So crazy. So crazy. But yeah, I mean, that's my little update. And yeah, we're excited. And, well, you know, we'll update the listeners as it comes.
As we go along.
As it comes, yeah. Let's wrap it up. It's 50 minutes, man.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. This has been a great episode. And yes. We'll check you guys next week. Peace.
Bye. Mm-hmm.